promised, though, we are joined right now by a studio analyst for the NFL Today. He spent 15 seasons as Steelers head coach, 10 postseason appearances, 8 divisional titles, 2 AFC titles as a coach. He led Pittsburgh to the Super Bowl victory in 2005, 1992 NFL Coach of the Year. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Class of 2020, and now the author of Heart and Steel, which came out yesterday. I am speaking of Bill Cowher. Bill, it's so good to have you on the program. Bill, how are you?
Doing great, Romy. How are you doing?
Good, good. Bill, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but why don't we start with the book, Heart and Steel. How does it feel to have it out there in the world and to be a published author?
Well, you know what, Romy? It really goes back to last year when I got inducted in the Hall of Fame that Saturday night. It makes you reflect on your football life, and all of a sudden you have all these plans, the pandemic hits, and everything comes to a standstill, and it made me reflect on my life. And so I really thought at that time, I was thinking about writing a book. I said, is this the right time to write a book with everything that was going on? And so I had to find the right collaborator with, and I was able to find Michael Hawley. And ironically, Michael Hawley went to Point Park College, which is in Pittsburgh, grew up in Northeast Ohio, and I met with him, and I said, listen, Michael, I don't want to write a football book. I really want to write a book that's about football, family, and one's life journey of lessons learned. And basically, that's what we did. We did it chronologically from my time growing up in Pittsburgh to where I am today, with my new wife, V, and working on the CBS set with my new CBS family. So in between, there's a lot that I shared, most personal I've ever been. And I think it's a book people will enjoy reading.
We're talking to Bill Cowher. Bill, I wanted to make that point, and I'm glad that you said that yourself, that you could have written a book, and it could have been just about football, and it would have been a great book. This feels much more like a memoir, and as you yourself said, quote, I revealed more about myself than I have before. I'm curious, was it comfortable to reveal that much about yourself, or was that challenging at times? What was that part like?
Oh, it was a little bit of everything, the gambit of emotions, Jim, when you sit down and think about getting raised up, and there were times I was laughing. There was times I was crying through the course of this book with Michael Hawley. There's times it provoked thought and also made me sit back and reflect a little bit and made me realize how many people were so important in who I am today, particularly my parents, my mother, my father, the impact that Marty Schottenheimer has had on me, that Dan Rooney has had on me. But even more importantly than that, the women that have been in my life. I've been so instrumental in who I am, and they've given me the balance that I've needed. You know, life is about transitioning from one phase of life to another. It's about having balance in your life and having proper perspective. And I really do believe that my late wife, my current Kay, my current wife V, my 3 daughters, and even my mentors, Marty Schottenheimer and Dan Rooney, their wives were very, very a big part of their lives as well. And so I just knew that family was such a big part of having the balance and having the right perspective on how you live your life, how you work one's job. And I kind of approach that the same way.
Honestly, I love that. I love that statement that it was so much about the women in your life. And I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. Bill Cowher is my guest. He is the author of Heart and Steel. It's a brand new book which came out yesterday. You know, Bill, talking football for just a couple of moments, take me back a little bit. Like, what do you remember about being named head coach of the Steelers at the age of 34?
Well, I was so interesting. I remember when Dan Rooney offered me the job, Kay and I were in Pittsburgh for our second interview. We went back to Kansas City, and I remember that night just laying there, I'm thinking, wow, if I don't screw this up, I can go back to my 20th high school class reunion as a head coach of my hometown team. And so my first goal was just not to get fired in the first 3 years. And ironically enough, the 20th high school class reunion we had, which was in 1995, was the year we went to the Super Bowl. We were just coming off an AFC loss to the San Diego Chargers. And I went to this reunion, and it was a river cruise. It was a Gateway Clipper going down to Monongahela. And I thought, okay, this ought to be cool. But then I get on the cruise. I realized I can't get off the boat. So I'm going to be on that boat for 3 hours with all my buddies who are telling me what I did wrong in a San Diego Charger game, what I should have done better, How they could help me next year get over the hump. I'm thinking, I kept looking at my watch, how much longer do I have on this cruise? So it was a blessing to be able to go back to my hometown. Most importantly, though, Romy, for my parents to be able to see their grandparents, their grandkids grow up, and for me to have my kids grow up kind of the same way I did. The core values that you learn from that city, the hard work, the pride, the humility, the expectation and tradition that's there. And so to this day, I'm so proud to be from Crafton, Pennsylvania, and it's still a big part of who I am.
We are joined right now by a studio analyst for NFL Today. He is also a Hall of Famer. He's got a brand new book out. It's called Heart and Steel. It came out yesterday. We were speaking with Bill Cowher. You know, Bill, because I've worked on that show, I've heard you talk about Ben Roethlisberger on the air and off the air, and certainly nothing off the air that you wouldn't say on the air, but you obviously have a lot of experiences with Ben. I'm curious, though, what was it like the first time you met him, and what was the draft evaluation process like? When you first saw him in person, what was that encounter like? How did he come off to you?
Well, you know, we interviewed all three of the quarterbacks. We interviewed Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, and Ben. And they were the top three coming in there. We were picking 12th. I wasn't sure if somebody was going to fall down to us. I didn't think that they would. But I think when you looked at Phillip and you looked at Eli at the time, you know, they were very mature. Their fathers were coaches. They were four-year players. They could be the face of your franchise, no question. Ben came in, first thing you question, okay, Miami of Ohio, quality of play. You watched him, and, you know, okay, he's got a strong arm. He's pretty athletic. But then when you talk with him, you know, he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and understandably so. So we talked to him a couple times, and I think the thing you came away with was the fact that, you know, being able to be the face of the organization, I think Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning, it was going to be easy for them to step into doing that. For Ben, it might be something to be perfect. He'll sit behind Tommy Maddox and for a year and kind of get a feel for the system. And when he came into the first mini camp, I know the first thing I did, the number one, you see him in a uniform, like, wow, this guy is really big. He's very athletic. He can kick the ball left-footed. I said, wow, this guy is more athletic when I start running some of the plays than I ever imagined him to be. And so, it'll be perfect for him to sit behind Charlie Batch and Tommy Maddox. Well, Charlie Batch gets hurt in the preseason. Okay, well, he'll be back by week four. And, okay, well, then, you know, Ben, with a limited amount of plays, he can back up Tommy Maddox for the first 4 weeks, and we'll just make sure he doesn't have to do too much. Well, then Tommy Maddox goes down in week two. And then week three and four, we put him into the lineup. And you know what, Rummy? We gave him a little bit of time. But the one thing you saw with him when he first got on the field, it was his ability to see the field, his ability not to have anything be too big for him. You know, he did have a little bit of that chip on his shoulder. He played street ball so many times, and yet he was always making pretty much the right decisions. And so, you know, we took him, and as he came in and won his first 15 games, try to continue to give him some instruction about, you know, you should be doing this and this. But, you know, he'd walk out of my meeting with me, and like, I'd be critiquing him about you should hit the check down, you didn't go through the right progressions. He'd walk out, he goes, we won, right, coach? I go, yeah, we won, but just listen to what I'm saying. Then I get down and tell Ken Wisenhunt, make sure you tell Ben, I'm not that upset, so just keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
Keep going out, go run to your right, throw the ball across the field, a plexiglass burst. It wasn't by design. Improvisation was a big part of what he wanted to do and how he wanted to play the game. And he did give us plays that were unscripted. And for the first time, having a quarterback that was comfortable enough, confident enough, and made those right decisions, I'm like, wow, it's kind of nice to have a guy who can make a play that wasn't scripted.
Bill Cowher joining us. So, Bill, again, the book is also about grief. And you lost your wife, Kay, and your father in a matter of months in 2010. You write about being a father and helping your daughters grieve. Listen, I understand that you're a leader. I understand that you're accustomed to people always looking to you. But I also know that there is no playbook, there is no handbook for dealing with something like this. So how were you able to process your own grief and at the same time help your daughters with theirs?
Yeah, you know what, Ronnie, I think it's just being a good listener and recognizing that people process things differently. You know, grieving is part of that is trying to process what you just lost. I went through that earlier with my father. And, you know, when Kay was diagnosed in February when she came back with melanoma and we sat down and talked about what our options were, my grieving started pretty much there. I knew it was going to be a long shot for us to be able to overtake that. But at the same time, I had to give my girls the hope, and the same hope I would give to Kay was to try to fight through this, because that's what it was all about. It was continuing to fight the fight and to keep getting up, stay positive, hold on to hope. We all got to have hope. And But at the same time, I was trying to be realistic and dealing with a lot of people, not just the daughters, but it was her family and all the family. And so it was very challenging. It was very introspective for me. I don't know if I did the right thing. Should I have brought hospice in to help us? All the girls were in different parts of their lives. All the girls are trying to process having lost their mom, and they all had different relationships with them. So I just think grieving is a very personal thing. And as it's documented in the book, I did what I felt was the right thing. And to also then try to bring another mother figure into their lives by meeting V when I met her and trying to explain to them that, you know, I think I love this girl. And so it was, you know, sharing that with the family was very personal. Sharing it with the world has become very, very revealing. And so at the same time, if this memoir can help anybody else that's going down similar paths, whether it's being decisions where it's about a job, within the job, life outside it, family, if they can take out some little insight and wisdom from this, then this book was well worth it.
Bill, to that point, Bill Cowher, my guest, it's extremely painful. There was the initial discovery of Kay's cancerous mole, and then the diagnosis of early Alzheimer's, then the melanoma. I mean, again, this is not something that you needed to write about. This is not something you had to share. Why was this part of the story that you did want to tell, and what would you like people to take from it?
Well, I think where we are and during the pandemic, I think it became very transparent. You know, there's a lot of things people thought. You know, talk about social justice, talk about privilege, right? And, you know, I lived a privileged life because I had opportunities that other people didn't have. And I can just share with people, like, listen, there's heartache and there's going to be hardships that you have through the course of life that I wanted. This is how I dealt with it. This is how I process things. And, you know, everybody has them. And again, I just, you know, I think it's something that can help people along the way. It's okay to talk about it. I just think sometimes we're so sensitive to talking about things that are they're hard conversations to have. And I had those hard conversations with my daughters. I had those hard conversations with people. And I just shared that with other people. I think there's a lot to be said for that because in our world today, we get uncomfortable when you're talking about hard conversations. And I just think sometimes we got to be more transparent because I think it's a very healthy way of dealing with things. And it's also a way of teaching and sharing your wisdom with other people who may be in a similar situation.
I like hearing that very much. Bill Cowher joining us. The book is called Heart and Steel. It came out yesterday. Bill, one final thought. One of the things, because of the pandemic, a lot of things were put on hold. But on top of the book coming out, you're finally going into the Hall of Fame later on this year. A few weeks back, your gold jacket arrived in the mail. What was it like to rip open that package and see that gold jacket?
Romy, it was unbelievable. I said, only appropriately so, that it was gold. I said, here I am going in there with a gold jacket, being a Steeler, and it fit perfectly, so I sent it right back to them. And number 331, I think I am forever. And so it's so humbling. I'll never forget that Saturday night on the CBS set when David Baker came out and told me that. It was almost surreal. And I remember coming home that night, it still didn't hit me. And so I've been able to enjoy this for a couple years, being able to go in there with Donnie Schell and Troy Polamalu. And the next day it'll be Alan Faneca going in. It'll be very, very special. And it's very humbling. And again, you don't do it by yourself. It's because it's a collaboration of team and ownership and players and coaches and all the people that I was blessed to be able to work with and to work together with. And, you know, I am just a small reflection of that by going to the Hall of Fame. And it's going to be a very, very special weekend in Canton in August, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Congrats on that. Enjoy every moment of that. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2020. He is a studio analyst for the NFL Today and now an author. The book is called Heart and Steel. The book is out right now. Bill, I appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship, and congrats on all of that. So nice to have you on today, Bill.
Thanks, Romy.
Bill Cowher, one of the best. What a great conversation that was. And you should get that book. A really powerful book.